I'm going to ask Peter and Helen McClintock to come forward now, and they're going to bring our readings to us. And then after that, Martin will bring our message.
The first reading comes from Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Jesus appears to his disciples. The 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, even though some of them doubted. Jesus drew near and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. I am a free man, nobody's slave, but I make myself everybody's slave in order to win as many people as possible. While working with the Jews, I live like a Jew in order to win them, and even though I myself am not subject to the law of Moses, I live as though I were when working with those who are in order to win them. In the same way, when working with Gentiles, I live like a Gentile, outside the Jewish law, in order to win Gentiles. This does not mean that I don't obey God's law. I am really under Christ's law. Among the weak in faith, I become weak like one of them, in order to win them. So I become all things to all people, that I may save some of them by whatever means are possible. All this I do for the gospel's sake, in order to share in its blessings. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your words here in this Bible. We thank you for the truths that they bring to our lives. We pray you'd open up our hearts and our minds this morning to hear afresh from you your message to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning our focus is on our vision, equipping God's people to make a difference wherever they are. But today is about getting beyond the words to the reality of what this really means for each of us as individuals and in our lives together as a church. As the morning unfolds, we'll be asking questions and looking for answers as to how we are going to turn vision to reality. To help us focus, I want to spend a few minutes this morning looking at the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Corinth was a church with problems, and Paul wrote two letters to them, full of instruction, challenge, and encouragement. Corinth was a cosmopolitan place. It was a key city in the Roman Empire, and as such, it attracted all kinds of people. It had a thriving trade and a strong cultural identity, drawing on Greek philosophy and wisdom. It was also a multi-faith city with a number of religions and several temples where the worship of individual gods could take place. In some ways, Corinth was a messy place, a mix of people, of ideas, influence, and religion. People coming and going as their work or life dictated. Into this mix we place the church, seeking to be distinctive, seeking to connect, and wanting to make a difference. In our passage this morning, we read Paul's attempt to help the Corinthians gain an understanding of what they need if they are to succeed. And in a way, what Paul is saying to the church is that life is messy, relationships are messy, and if the church is going to find a way to connect with the culture around it, then church will also get messy. Let's have a look at the passage in a bit more detail for just a few minutes. You see, when we read the passage, it's very easy to fall into the trap that many people do. We read into this passage a meaning that just isn't there. We read the passage as, to the Jews I become a Jew, and to the Gentiles I become a Gentile. The problem is that Paul never really makes such a claim. The way the passages flow is what we expect Paul to say. But if we look at the phrases carefully, he doesn't say that, and he doesn't for a good reason. You see, the passage breaks down in six key parts, which are simply this. Firstly, I become a slave to all people. Then Paul says, I become a Jew. For Jews, I lived under the law. For Gentiles, I lived outside of the law. Well, almost. I become weak. I become all things to all people. This is a classic style of writing where the lines are paired together to counter one another. If you look through the passage, you'll see how they link. You see, the first and the last of these lines go together as Paul talks about identifying with all people. The middle pair talk about living like a Jew and living like a Gentile. And then naturally, we expect the second and the fifth lines also to match. In the second, Paul says, I become a Jew. So in the fifth, we expect him to say, I become a Gentile. Why does the pattern break? The answer is simple. Paul is a Jew. It's impossible for Paul to be a Gentile. A Gentile is a non-Jew. There's no way that someone born a Jew can be anything other than a Jew. You see, even in these verses, as Paul outlines how he seeks to live out his faith, he recognises that there are limits to what he's able to do, boundaries that he just cannot cross. But Paul says he will do all that he can to build bridges, to cross cultures in the name of Christ. Paul recognised that life is messy, that culture is messy, that there are no set formulas or patterns. To make a difference for Christ means that we too will get messy. So Paul reminds the Corinthians church that he is free. He is self-financing and therefore is not under the control of others. But at the same time, he is willing to be a slave to all if it will win more people for Christ. Paul is highlighting the balancing act between retaining our integrity and doing anything to make a difference. Life is messy. To connect with the Jews, Paul becomes a Jew. In other words, he lives and behaves as a faithful Jew. But he counters this by being willing to become weak, to reach the weak. To be a faithful Jew would have meant that he was sticking to the laws, obeying all the stuff going on in the synagogue, living as the religious teachers would have expected. To be weak, he became weak and vulnerable. But leaders, even church leaders, usually want to appear strong. They are happy to serve the weak, but normally that service comes from a position of strength. Because we have this, because I am like this, then I can help you. Then I can do this. But that's not what Jesus modeled in his ministry. And Paul follows Jesus' example of denying his privilege as a Roman citizen and is prepared to become weak to reach out to the weak. Again, Paul is telling us, life is messy, life is complicated. Paul tells us that he kept the law whilst he was amongst the Jews. In other words, he lived by the Jewish law as expected by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, so as to gain access to speak about Jesus. But when with those who did not live under the law, the Gentiles, he abandons the restrictions so as to make the message of Jesus accessible to them also. This didn't mean that Paul adopts an anything goes mentality, where all principles and morals are dropped. Paul is still subject to the law of Christ. In both situations, living as Christ expects overrules everything else. Paul will do all that he can to bring Christ's message of salvation to all. The world is messy. Life is messy, but Christ's laws give us boundaries. So what do we learn from this passage to help us as we seek to connect with our culture, our community, both as individuals and as a church? This passage teaches us that we do not have freedom to do what we like. The freedom we have is a freedom from all the things that stop us from being the people that God called us to be. For example, this may be other people's demands or claims upon us. It may be situations that we find ourselves in. Paul here is clearly telling us that there are limits to the things we should do, particularly when the things we are being asked to do go against the pattern that Jesus has given to us. This passage teaches us that in all situations, the message we have to share remains constant. It is the messenger that changes. We must adapt ourselves to give the best opportunity to speak the messages we have been given. The message stays the same. We change depending on the context we find ourselves in. We learn that the gospel was entrusted to Paul and also to us. It was not put under our control. It is not for us to mess around with. We do not own it or control it. The gospel is God's gift to the world. We have been given that gift to share. We are stewards, not the owners. Essentially, what we are being told by Paul is that we are to live life in the light of eternity. Every encounter or personal habit is to be controlled by God. We need to allow him to work in us and through us in the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. This is a message for each of us as individuals as we reach out in our daily lives, whatever that might look like for us. It is also a message for us as a community as we seek to reach out to those around us, as we seek to make connections across the city. I want to finish with a great quote from a guy called Mike Giaconelli. He wrote a book called Messy Spirituality, which is all about helping normal, everyday people recognize that even in their mixed up, messed up everyday lives, they are still important and usable by God. I believe what is true of the individual is true of the church. Let me read it to you. I haven't got it on the screen because it's too big a quote, but hopefully you can listen and pick out what I'm saying. Giaconelli writes, "Spirituality is not a formula. It is not a test. It is a relationship. Spirituality is not about competency. It is about intimacy. Spirituality is not about perfection. It is about connection. The way of the spiritual life begins where we are now, in the mess of our lives. Accepting the reality of our broken, flawed lives is the beginning of spirituality. Not because the spiritual life will remove our flaws, but because we let go of seeking perfection and instead seek God. The one who is present in the tangledness of our lives. Spirituality is not about being fixed. It is about God being present in the mess of our unfixedness, if there's such a word as unfixedness. You see, I think what he's trying to say there is if we want to make a difference wherever we are, we need to realize that we need to start with ourselves as individuals and then also as a church. We need to remember that making a difference is not about starting another program or putting on another course or putting on extra events. It is about being willing to get messy, to connect with a messy world. Making a difference wherever we are means being willing to do whatever it takes to reach out to others whilst remaining connected and obedient to the gospel of Christ. What an exciting opportunity we face together. Let me lead you in a prayer. Father God, we thank you for this challenge to connect our messy lives to you, to allow you to work in us and through us into a messy, mixed up and confused world. Father God, we pray for ourselves that you would help us to recognize who we are, that you would help us to rely and trust on you and allow you to work with our messiness and use us for your glory. What we pray for ourselves, we pray for this church, that you would help us as a messy church to connect with this city around us, to find ways of reaching out your gospel into people's lives. Father, thank you for your amazing love and all that you want to do in our lives. Amen.